How to keep your tax bill low if you are one of the richest companies on earth. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Since the weekend, there's this new moniker, the Paradise Papers. These are millions of leaked documents from a Bermuda-based law firm. Journalists have been combing through them, and among the many revelations now are Apple's cleverness with its taxes. The papers being analyzed by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists shows that Apple, under attack for avoiding taxes by routing assets through Ireland, found another useful European island to lower its tax bill. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker has been looking closely at this. Good morning.
Hello, David.
Help me with these papers. What do they show about Apple?
That the company shopped around for a tax haven after a crackdown on its tax practices in Ireland. Now, what did it do in Ireland? Well, its revenues outside the US were funneled through companies in Ireland that were effectively stateless for tax purposes, and so they were subject to very little tax. Ireland came under heavy pressure inside Europe over this arrangement and decided to eliminate it, and so Apple wanted to find a new offshore home, and its legal advisers sent a questionnaire to the firm that's at the centre of this massive leak of papers. It's named Appleby, and the similarity to Apple's name, I should say, is coincidental, asking questions about a number of specific jurisdictions, including this one. Is it possible to obtain an official assurance of tax exemption?
All right, so that's in quotes. What did Apple decide?
Well, they went for Jersey, one of the Channel Islands that's in between the UK and France, although it's a UK crown dependency. We don't know the reasons, at least not from the documents, but it has a zero corporate tax rate for foreign companies, and that presumably contributed to the island's appeal to Apple. It's also apparent from the papers that Apple wanted to keep the move secret. One email between partners at the law firm said, "For those of you who are not aware, Apple officials are extremely sensitive concerning publicity."
And Andrew, why might they be so sensitive?
Well, you will recall, David, I'm sure, the rather strident criticism that Apple has had in the US over its tax relationships with the country. It does pay an awful lot of corporation tax in the US, but on its revenue outside the country, it's an average of only 4% on international profits. It's keen to keep that money offshore. And as you well know, the US government and a lot of characters in Congress would like to see some of that money brought back so it could be taxed on your side of the Atlantic.
And how's Apple responding here, Andrew?
It's defending itself very firmly. It says it remains the world's largest taxpayer, paying $34 billion in corporate tax in the last 3 years, plus billions more in various other taxes. It says it follows the law and will comply if the system changes. And I think it's just important to add at the end that there's no suggestion here that what Apple did was illegal.
All right. The BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker, thank you for this.
My pleasure, David.
Let's check the markets. The 100-share index in London is down 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and Nasdaq futures are mixed. The Dow futures up about 0.1%. S&P and Nasdaq futures are down just slightly. Members of the House Ways and Means Committee are back at the tinkering, if not the refining, of the Republican tax bill today. In this 400-plus page bill, we note that there are some bits that seem to have little to do with actual taxes and more to do with winning over supporters. Marketplace's Rima Krais explains.
Buried in the bill is a win for pro-life activists. There's a provision that explicitly lets parents set up a college savings plan for a quote-unquote unborn child, defined in the legislation as a child in utero.
This is a concrete recognition within the U.S. tax code that a fetus is an unborn child.
Mark Jones is a political science fellow at Rice University. He says another provision would allow tax-exempt religious organizations to engage in political activity.
It's almost purely symbolic because none of it actually affects the amount of revenue raised or the amount of revenue lost.
Lawmakers often include these kinds of provisions when they're having trouble advancing legislation directly, says Vanessa Williamson of the Brookings Institution.
And, you know, I think that's even more true this year because the Republican Party has struggled to bring much home for their constituents.
And she says Republicans are already planning to pass the bill without Democratic votes. So including rah-rah language to gin up the support among social conservatives will not hurt. I'm Rima Krais for Marketplace.
You get a 30-year mortgage on a house, right? But how long is too long for a car or truck loan? There's been a big increase in the number of longer-term car loans, according to a recent report by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Longer loans mean smaller monthly payments, but they also can mean more risk, Marketplace's Aaron Schrenk reports.
The CFPB found that 42% of auto loans made in the last year had a payback term of 6 years or more. Back in 2009, it was just 26%. These longer-term loans attract borrowers with lower credit scores looking to finance larger amounts. Charlie Chesborough is senior economist at auto trade publishing group Cox Automotive.
6-7 years out into the future, I think it's very difficult for consumers to plan that far ahead. And I think that's why we see the greater risk, the higher default rates.
6-year loans are about twice as likely as 5-year loans to result in default. The longer-term loan trend could force some drivers to keep cars longer than the current average of 6.5 years. That could ding the automobile market, says NYU economist Larry White. But even if defaults do increase, he says,
it's not going to be a more widespread financial system or economy-wide problem.
On the scale of, say, the crash of 2008, I'm Aaron Schrenk for Marketplace.
And a respected tax policy center in Washington has now retracted its analysis of who wins and who loses under the Republican tax bill after the organization itself spotted a mistake. They could reissue this report, its fixed version, later today. If you miss our coverage on the air, it'll be in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. Our producers Justin Hoke, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.